Are you stumped about what to give friends or family for holiday presents? Maybe you don't want to give money to the big sweatshop retailers, but can't afford to buy the beautiful handmade stuff at Berkeley Boutiques or even the KPFA Crafts Fair. If so, the Winter Creations Make-A-Thon might be just the thing you need. The Make-A-Thon will be held this coming Saturday, December 15th, at LOL, Liberating Ourselves Locally, which is located at 1324 23rd Avenue in Oakland, near the corner of East 12th. I'm here at LOL with Jen May Wu, one of the founders of this space, which is known as the Oakland Makerspace. Jen May, I'd never heard of a makerspace or a maker fair until a few weeks ago when I heard you being interviewed at the Green Festival. So tell me and our listeners, what is a makerspace?
So a makerspace is a place where people can go to kind of have like a workshop. A lot of people can't afford to have workshops at home. So it's nice to have a shared space where you can come. There's a lot of space to like lay out stuff and work on projects. Moreover, you know, there's shared equipment here too, so that not everyone needs to buy all the stuff they need to work on projects. For example, we've got, I think, 3 sewing machines. We've got an electronic cutter. The carpentry class I know is using a bunch of woodworking tools, and there's actually stained glass tools here. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that we have at the space that people can make use of. And in addition to that, the nice thing about having a shared space, not only do you have the tools and equipment that you need and the space you need, but there's other people here that you can connect with, and you can learn things from each other. We kind of view ourselves as an educational space so that people can come and learn how to create things that they didn't know how to create before.
And how did you get involved with this?
I actually started visiting other maker spaces, and often they're called hacker spaces. I'm part of a group called Techies of Color, and we did a little field trip, and it ended up only being 2 of us. But we went to visit another makerspace, hackerspace. I think they call themselves a hackerspace. And we went to their general meeting, which is the time when most of their members show up. We were the only 2 women who showed up, and we were possibly the only 2 people of color who showed up. And we thought, well, this seems a little awkward. And so we decided, well, it's not that we decided at that moment, but like it's experiences like that, which are sometimes more common than you'd hope for. And we want to have a space that was like, you know, something that people in our communities were well represented in. And so we started this space where people of color led and were gender balanced. In fact, most of our organizers are women. And it's been great. You know, it's been great because we're very much, you walk into our space and, you know, just seeing the people here, it's completely different feel than if you go to any of the other spaces. And even if those spaces are like very open to like a diverse crowd, it's like, you know, if you look at their organizing members, it's not super diverse.
And so you're here in East Oakland. You're at 23rd Avenue near 12th. How did you pick this space, and how did you find a space?
So it's kind of opportunistic, actually. This entire building, which is actually most of this block, was purchased by a friend of a friend, and what they wanted was to have several different organizations or businesses move in that would kind of be very community-minded, right? So there's a Shaolin Kung Fu school that moved into one of the spaces. Sustaining Ourselves Locally, Seoul, has been here for a while, and they're right next door to us, and they do a food justice program. They have a farm in the backyard. They have high school interns that come in and learn about food justice. And they do a lot of education. They're also people of color collective. And then the Bikery, which is a nonprofit bike store that teaches youth how to build bikes and how to run a bike shop, basically, also has one of the storefronts here, too. And, you know, I know a lot of people at Seoul, so I suggested to some friends, hey, let's start a makerspace, and we can rent out the space, and we can get a good deal on the rent. And it seems to be in a good location because, well, this is a very diverse neighborhood. There's, you know, more than 100 languages spoken within like a couple miles of here on a daily basis. And there's so many organizations here already. So like a lot of the people that we want to reach out to are already coming to this area. You know, some of them are youth. Eastside Arts has been here for many, many years, and they do amazing, amazing things. There's just so many people that we can collaborate with.
And so you've been here about a year, and what kinds of things are happening here regularly?
We're a little different than most makerspaces. A lot of them started as hackerspaces, and so they're doing a lot of techie things. We do a couple of techie things, but we don't do nearly so much as some of the other spaces do. We have a really wide range of activities here. So there's carpentry. There's a carpentry class that happens every Saturday, and they've been meeting for a few months. And we have had stained glass making here. So we still have some stained glass equipment here, and people can come and work on their stained glass projects. For Halloween, we had a really big event where youth from Seoul and from the Bikery and Youth Revolution came, and they went to the basement and they built a haunted house, which was completely amazing. And then we had our Halloween kind of haunted happenings event, and invited a lot of people from the neighborhood. And it was mostly a kids and family kind of event. So younger kids would come through, and they'd go through the haunted house, and the older kids, the high school youth, and I think one of them was a college-age youth, kind of, you know, scared the living daylights out of them. And it got to the point where they had to like have different levels of scariness so that people going in could say, okay, we want a one, or we want like a three. And during that day, we actually had a lot of different events here, or a lot of different activities here. So we had pumpkin painting, we had mask making, we had story time, we had food, and we had face painting. We had a lot of different things that were kind of Halloween themed. And actually, we're going to have a similar kind of event coming up on Saturday, December 15th, and that is going to be our Winter Creations Make-a-thon. And what's going to happen there is we're going to have a bunch of stations set up around the space, and people can come and work on a project. And it's kind of like, it's like our alternative to holiday shopping. It's holiday making. You get to make stuff, and you know, you can make it for yourself, or you can make it as a gift to give to someone else. But there'll be simple projects that you can accomplish while you are here, or at least get far along enough that you could easily finish it at home.
And so that make-a-thon is going to be from when to when next Saturday the 15th?
It's going to be from noon to 4 on Saturday. I should also mention that every Wednesday is Wellness Wednesday. So we have three different yoga teachers who are kind of taking turns. And then we have another class about stretching and nutrition that also takes place. And so we tend to post things on our Facebook account and also on our website, which is oaklandmakerspace.com.
I'm sure that a lot of people hearing this are going to think that they would like to help or plug in. What kinds of things do you need, first of all?
We always need volunteers. We have an open organizing meeting. It happens. We want to do it every Monday, but it's a little bit much with all the stuff that's going on right now. But we'll probably get back to a regular Monday schedule after once the new year starts. But right now we just post our meetings online and people can see and they can come. They're usually Mondays at 7:30 p.m. and people can come through and kind of learn how to participate. We are also looking for donations, monetary donations. We generally try to make the space completely donation supported so that people don't have like a required fee to come here. And we're looking for members. And members are people who are willing to help support the space by paying a little bit more monthly. And for that privilege, they can go to, you know, classes for free. And then there's like different levels of membership. So there's a higher level of membership, which is I think it's about $50 or $60 a month. And that money really goes to kind of be foundational, to kind of like pay for rent and stuff. And that's the sort of thing where you can actually get a key to the space so that you can come at any time instead of coming only during events, which is generally when we're open. So those are ways that you can support us. We'll be doing a crowdfunding fundraiser very soon. We just filed our articles of incorporation. And we expect to hear back from Sacramento very quickly. It's been a couple weeks already, and then we're being fiscally sponsored by School Factory, so people will actually be able to get a tax deductible receipt from us at that point.
And did you have any issues around the idea of becoming a 501c3 and, you know, or like being a nonprofit filing with the state? you know, were there people in your group who thought, no, you should be more indie than that?
Yeah, I mean, basically a lot of us are refugees from the nonprofit industrial complex. So yes, there's a lot of talk about that. However, as we started looking at the logistics of it, it became very complicated to do something other than that, because we wanted to form a collective, right? Like a collective, a co-op. In California, you can form a co-op as a legal entity. And we thought that might be a better solution. But then we heard from lawyers, and we got some help from the Sustainable Economics Law Center and from the East Bay Community Law Center, EBCLC. And they gave us some advice, and they said, you know, we looked at co-ops being formed in California, and usually those are worker co-ops, and you are actually required to pay all of your workers, who are, you know, the owners, minimum wage. And we're all volunteers. We don't get paid anything. In fact, we pay in order to run the space. So that wasn't going to work out. We tried all these different things, and they were all either expensive or complicated. If you form a corporation, then, you know, you get kind of like the legal protection. But at the same time, someone has to own the corporation, right? So, you know, and then we thought, well, that seems kind of ridiculous, because we don't want it to be owned by anyone. And really the only way to not be owned by anyone is to form a non-stock corporation in the state of California, and that's a nonprofit organization. It doesn't have tax deductible status, but we thought that if we're going to go and form a nonprofit corporation, we may as well like get a fiscal sponsor so that some things could be tax deductible. And, you know, we'll kind of work through it in the future and see if that causes any issues for us, because we could always decide to change and stop that agreement with our fiscal sponsor and maybe just kind of be like a non-share corporation that just, you know, does, you know, whatever we want without having to adhere to like the guidelines of 501c3, which means that we couldn't get involved in certain activities with regards to politics, for example.
Some friends of mine came to a meeting, and then they were telling some other people about it, and they mentioned that you want all the classes that you do here to be taught by people of color. And one of the women said, well, why can't we just get past all of that?
So actually we are. I mean, basically we would definitely prefer if we had people of color teaching, and if we had, basically it's not just people of color, it's also women. It's basically we're trying to provide an alternative to a lot of the spaces that do exist right now. So there's a whole bunch of makerspaces in the Bay Area. There's Noise Bridge in San Francisco. There's Ace Monster Toys in Oakland, which I think might be more of a private space. I'm not sure. There's BioCurious in the South Bay, which is a biology hacking space. There's Mothership Hacker Moms in Berkeley, which is awesome because, like us, they're kind of like creating a very different space. It's run by women, the Hacker Moms, and you know, they're doing great stuff. And then Studio Room is forming in Oakland, and actually they're pretty cool too, because they're trying to really be open to the diversity of Oakland, and they're just getting started, and they just rented their space near where the old location of EBMC, the East Bay Meditation Center, was, near 19th Street BART. And there's so many other places that you can go, but there's not a lot of places where you can come and you can see people of color teaching, and, you know, kind of see like a really, really gender balanced kind of experience where you walk into a room and it's not like dominated by any one group, right? And that's great. And we also have, you know, a lot of our organizers are also queer, and, you know, kind of like, we want to create like a space for that as well. And so we're kind of like trying to create a space for all kinds of different people. And that doesn't mean necessarily that every event is like that or every class is like that. Sometimes we will have something that's taught by a white woman, for example, or possibly even by a cisgendered white man. I mean, that hasn't actually happened yet, but it could conceivably happen as long as like our entire schedule reflects kind of the diversity and community that we want. And if someone is really aligned with us and wants to help out, that'd be great. The situation we want to avoid is that we don't want to avoid a situation where we have a lot of straight, cisgendered white men kind of leading a lot of the activities and doing a lot of the organizing. because that is an experience that you can quite frankly get very easily at some of the other hacker maker spaces.
And once again, the Winter Creations Makeathon will be held December 15th. That's this coming Saturday at the Oakland Makerspace, Liberating Ourselves Locally, 1234 23rd Avenue. That's near the corner of East 12th. It's on the 1R, 62 and 1 bus lines, also pretty close to Fruitvale BART station. You can get more information by going to their website, oaklandmakerspace.wordpress.com. You can also find them on Facebook if you look up LOL Oakland. I'm Kate Raphael, and I've been speaking with Jen May Wu, one of the founders of Liberating Ourselves Locally here in Oakland.